the Wayne Ayers Podcast.
The Wayne Ayers Podcast.
Woohoo!
Time to wake your ass up for a blessed day.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Let's get to it. In Rebel Moon 2, there's a character that might reveal a dark secret from their past. What are your thoughts on redemption, and can anyone truly be redeemed? And what qualities do you think make a character worthy of a redemption in your eyes?
Yeah, no, I feel like Korra's character, I think they're all like on some sort of redemptive path, but Korra for sure. And I really wanted to I felt like we weirdly relate to these broken characters probably more than like some goody-two-shoes perfect person that never did anything wrong. I think we're all on some sort of redemptive journey. And so, yes, there is a limit to what we can come back from probably, but we're trying to push that a little bit.
Nice. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I really have to know. I want to know, what do you think are your top four movies that you directed? And does Rebel Moon makes that list?
Absolutely, Rebel Moon makes the list right now. I'm always very up on my sort of latest is my favorite, you know? And especially, I feel like the director's cuts. When you see the director's cuts of Rebel Moon, I think you really understand why I would say they're my favorites. And then Watchmen, of course, and Justice League are among my favorites. And I would say also, let's see what else. The Ultimate BVS and Man of Steel. That's something like that.
Yeah, okay. Nice. Previously in your works, like The 300, Watchmen, and Justice League, and now Rebel Moon, you demonstrate a knack for creating visually striking and immersed worlds. How do you visually approach world building in your projects?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, that's kind of the trick. I don't, I try not to premeditate it too much. Try and let it just be like a process of whatever the world demands is that as far as the story goes. Like, what is the story asking to be for visually to be its companion? And so that's kind of pretty much how I approach it. You know, I do a lot of drawing, and through the drawing and the story, kind of start to hone in on what will be the visual style of the film.
Nice. The Rebel Moon universe is kind of vast. Are there any specific stories or characters you would like to explore, outside a spinoff or a TV series, that sort?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have the Blood Axe comics, for instance, which I think absolutely could be made into a TV show. Or a film. There's a really compelling and beautiful story there. Obviously, Blood Axe. We're working on a Nemesis backstory comic at the same time, which would also be really amazing. So, yeah, I think those two, obviously, as well as what we have planned, you know, for the future with, the sort of semi-grown. Because in the timeline, if you actually pay attention, Princess Issa was assassinated 4 years ago. So it was 4 years ago that Korra was in the Imperium. It's been 4 years she was on the run. And so Issa is 17 now. So if she were to be alive, if she'd be 17. So you have this whole other, we have this kind of other thing happening.
Nice. If you could add an actor or actress to the Rebel Moon franchise, who would you want to be in it?
Oh, add an actor.
Actor or actress. Actor and actress. You could add an actor.
Oh, let's see. I definitely would want, Billy Crudup. Always. I'm always looking for a spot for Billy because I love Billy. And actress. Let's see. I love so many. I'm a kind of an Anne Hathaway fan, so I don't know if she would ever do anything.
Ooh,
that I was doing, but
I think she'd be interested.
Yeah, maybe.
How are you doing today?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I really enjoyed it. Your character is one of my favorite in the film, so I'm glad I'm talking to you today.
Thank you.
One thing about Rebel Moon is Rebel Moon is all about fighting for freedom. What does freedom look like in your character's ideal world?
I think freedom to Gunnar is synonymous to peace, probably, you know, and living in harmony with the land.
Nice, nice. Your character went from, like, being a farmer into being, like, one of the leaders of the rebellion.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about your character development throughout the two films?
Well, I thought that it was going to be very satisfying to play Gunnar because he has such a huge arc. He goes through such a massive transformation from being a naive farmer. He's the most regular guy out of the whole ensemble. And he ends up being a badass. You know, because we shot part one and part two back to back, we already had those scripts, so we knew what was coming. And for me, that meant that we could really pace out that transformation and take our time with it. And you know, I hope the audience will enjoy part two and will agree that it really, although it's so action packed, it is also so much more heartfelt, and we discover so much more about these characters.
Nice. You did like two films back to back with Zack Snyder. I want to know if there's anything that you learned from that you'd be like taking, like going moving forward with your career. Like, okay, I learned this from Zack Snyder, I'll probably use this going forward throughout my career.
I mean, the way he worked, it was really inspiring to me. One of my colleagues, Charlie, had mentioned, I heard him say this earlier, and I thought it described it so well, that when Zach is making a movie like Rebel Moon, when he's on set, he is so comfortable with this world, and which is remarkable because it's so technical as well, right? Lots of green screen and... But it kind of feels like he's just a guy that is tinkering with his motorcycle in his garage. You know, it's like, oh, wait, I need that thing. Okay, let's give me that. Okay, let's get a saw. All right, we got it. Let's go. That's how it felt like making Rebel Moon at times. It felt very free and very inspiring in that sense. I obviously didn't expect that because... You know, you go into it and you know it's going to be grand and of such a huge scale, but then to have a director be so, you know, tactile with it was fantastic.
Nice, nice. Okay, I got some fun questions for you now, like little things.
Okay.
If you could have like any character from a different sci-fi franchise make an appearance in Rebel Moon, which when would it be?
Oh, God. I mean,
earlier today I got a Silver Surfer. Who else did I get? I forgot who else I got. Somebody said Silver Surfer. I want to say Stat said Silver Surfer.
Yeah. I wouldn't know, actually. I wouldn't know. But it would be exciting because, you know, I think Rebel Moon Part 1 and Part 2 are only the beginning, or we hope, of a huge universe. So I can't wait to see where other stories or side stories take us. And I wouldn't be surprised if we meet other characters.
Nice, isn't it? Okay, now I know for you. Which actor or actress from Rebel Moon 2 would you want as your partner in a survival challenge? Survival challenge, and why?
Well, Gunnar obviously picks Korra, and I think that's the best pick. But you know, all of the rebels are pretty badass when it comes to. Surviving disaster, but
not yet. Everybody has their own unique thing that they bring to the table.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Another one for you. If your character could write a memoir about their experience, what would the title be?
Well, how about Rebel Moon, The Scars Given?
Okay, I like it. Another one, if you could add a twist to your character storyline, what would it be?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I mean, to me, it was a big surprise when we first discovered that Noble, Ed Skrein's character, is actually some sort of android, right? That he's not fully human. So that's the first thing I thought of when you asked the question. I thought, oh, yeah, well, what if we find out that Gunnar is actually some sort of robot? But I don't think that we want that, because he's really the heart of the story, and I really liked that part of him. So no, I think he's perfectly fine the way he is.
No, okay, I like it. Let's go. What would be like your message for like future rebels? What would it be? If you had to leave a message for future rebels, what would it be?
My message would be believe in yourself and fight for the power of love.
Nice, I like that. Okay, another one. If the Rebel Moon franchise had to do a crossover with another Netflix series or movie, what series or movie would you like to do a crossover with?
Oh my God.
There's a lot of options.
I mean, it's hard, you know? I mean, like, the first thing that comes to mind for me is like a sci-fi show that I really love on Netflix is Black Mirror.
That would be dope.
Yeah. So like a Rebel Moon themed Black Mirror episode. That would be pretty epic. And, you know, I imagine it to be very conceptual, and like it takes place in one space, and yeah, it's cool. I like it. Let's do that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. I would be interested in seeing that. My last question for you today, looking ahead to like the part two, where are you most excited for Fantasy and Rebel Moon part two?
The end.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's actually, yeah.
I'm very curious to see how audiences respond to that.
Buzz, how you guys doing today?
Hey, brother, what is your backdrop? Is that like a storyboard? That's dope.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of like anime. I just like cut it about anime.
Love it. Love it. You got a big anime head here. So.
Oh, for real? What's your favorite anime?
I like Hunter Hunter and Samurai Champloo. Okay.
Ooh, that's a good option.
Wait, what about
option,
you? Bro. What about you?
My is Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Shengen Ashura and Baki and Hunter, thanks to E as Hunter, well.
Yeah. I hope Hunter Hunter keeps continuing.
Oh yeah. My God, I know.
Okay, my bad. We off topic.
Yeah, let's go. It's good.
I really enjoyed this part two. I like this more than the first one. My first question for you guys is like, Rebel Moon is like a story of hope amidst of oppression. What message do you think like the film ultimately delivers about the power of resistance?
I think, you know,
stand up for what you believe.
Yeah,
never give up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think it's that.
Compliment what?
Yeah.
Compliment.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it is that. It's that. You know, like Jaimin so poetically says, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, and can start with a single person. And you know, The story also in part two really reflects the fact that anyone can be a warrior and stand up for what they believe in. You know what I mean? When you see these wonderful, peaceful Veltians repurposing their farming tools into weapons. And you know, I think it's an example that that we all deserve to stand up for and what we love and who we love. And there's never a reason not to.
Yeah, I love the message of everyone coming together too, you know.
Yes.
They all have such different reasons for fighting, but they're there alongside each other, and I think
it
that's really beautiful.
It would seem
really
like
beautiful.
We all had an opportunity to redeem the past, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Each individual's past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now in the second film, we kind of get like a little backstory of the characters. I want to know if you could add like a twist to your character storyline, what would it be?
A twist?
My twist would be that Tarek isn't actually royal. He's made it all up. Tarek's not royal. He's
just
turns out he's maybe not even a good guy. He's just maybe a snake in the weeds. That's off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a fun turn for the story. You know.
I think it would be cool if Milius wasn't just a hero, but a superhero. So maybe they, you know, could turn invisible or, like, fly. Or, like, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which
I like. Well, I don't know about Titus. What would be cool if Titus turned into...
He wasn't a drinker, he was a smoker. Dude, just way more relaxed than I am. Listen, you guys do the grain. I'm just gonna watch. I'm gonna delegate from over here. Just super chill. Titus is just super relaxed.
Yes.
Oh, Diamond, your character Titus had like amazing words throughout the film. I want to know what aspect of your character's personality or background do you find most relatable?
Most relatable. Most relatable. It would have to be his war stand. You know, the equivocal idea of fighting for the right cause, for the just cause. I mean, I don't.
Finding for you standing up for a just cause.
Yeah.
Completely tracks, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Okay, if your guys' character could have one thing from Earth sent to them on their planet, what would it be and why?
From Earth sent
from
to them?
From Earth?
A piano.
Yeah.
No, for me, if I could, or for Tarek, sorry. If our character did, or me? Sorry, I was like, if I was set in space.
Your character.
Oh,
your
my character. Oh, from their own planet. So from their home planet, what would they get sent?
Yeah.
Oh, Abenu, definitely the bird. There's such a symbolic aspect of his world, and you know, I kind of as a bird nerd myself, I think if I could, I think we'd take these guys down a little faster if I had our griffin-like creature. So, hoping part three they return. Yeah, it'd be the Abenu. Everyone will take Abenu.
You know, I mean, if we can ride that thing,
right? I'll teach you to ride it. It's all good.
No. The rebels come from various backgrounds and possess unique skill sets. If you had to pick two characters from the movie to help you with a personal conflict, which one are you choosing? Which two are you choosing?
Is the personal conflicts?
Yeah.
What kind of personal conflict? Am I asking someone to like throw some hands with me, or am I asking someone dissect the inner workings of my mind?
Strategize all that stuff.
Okay, if it's fighting, strategize Titus, because he just, you know, 40 years of military IQ and understanding how to lead an army and create warriors out of anyone, statistically speaking. And then I think if it was for like emotional stuff, it would be Milius. You know, it'd be like me and Milius. Yeah, I feel like Tarek and Milius have gotten quite close that way, or maybe we just projected that. Our own relationship onto the thing. But I think, like, Tarek would have a cry with Milius.
I'm telling you, this too on film,
laugh,
right?
I hope.
Boy.
You loved it, Jaimin. We'd have long days and he would hate...
Well, I have to say, it was a certain aspect of it was quite entertaining, you know, filming when, you know, some of the dull moments on set, there'd be, you know, they'll be creating something, either a song or some sort of a story. They're always like, these two are a piece of work. Eh?
Listen, I used to say to him, when you stop smiling, we'll stop doing it. You know, he kept, like, it's still there. You know, he might resent us for it, but there's a smile in his face. I remember this one time I was getting up into the trailer, and I don't know why, I was super excited. I think it was basically like, I think Jaime and myself thought we were going to have an early finish or something that morning. And I got walked in and I got told that, oh, you know, we're probably going to be needed till the evening. And it's like 6-7 in the morning and Jaime comes. I was like, Jaime, guess what? We don't have a break today. We're not going to finish early. And he just goes, Stazzy, it's too early in the morning for this. And he walked away, put his hand on his hip and made his espresso in silence. And I was like, I got you, big papa. I'll give you a minute for reality. Take a second. It was great fun. It's great.
Okay, if you guys could describe your character with one song, what would that song Ooh, be?
Song?
One song.
Well, I would have to pick the song that I'm singing in the story, which is pretty empowering and sort of a call on to the ancestors and call on to their, you know. Yeah.
The song you sang, right? Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I would say for you. I'm still thinking. Have you got one?
Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yes, okay. I like that.
There's even the costume. It's orange and black. I mean, come on.
That's a good one.
This is a tough one. I mean, listen, I'll say the song, I guess, that I used for Sense Memory for one of the scenes. It was a song called Waterfront by Jamie Woon. He's kind of a relatively unknown British musician. And it was a connection because it was the first song I danced with my now wife, when I realized I was falling in love. So there's this personal thing, and I used the idea of losing that as a springboard for some of the heavier emotions. But also what that represents is letting go and finding and trusting that love or life will serve you and guide you. It's not always up to you to find, you know, one of the lines is come, let it flow wherever it takes you, you know. And I think that's kind of what Tarek does when he signs up for this. So maybe that song.
Nice. Okay, if you guys could have like a different like sci-fi character join the Rebel Moon series, which character would you want to have?
Sci-fi character. I mean, we're talking about superheroes now, or what?
Any kind of sci-fi hero. So could be Marvel, could be DC, could be space.
Like Yoda, whatever, don't matter. Any sci-fi character.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I'll be Shazam.
I love that. Bring.
I love that.
Your friends with him in another world, so you can bring him in another world.
Let's go.
Well, the ancient magician. Come on, let's go. You know me. Let's go to Velt. Who would I bring in sci-fi? That's a really good question. My brain instantly just goes to the Silver Surfer. I don't know why, because he's just so dope. He's just like a weird, like, you know, nomad who just like just floats around like in a this weird mercurial metal form endlessly. There's something so mysterious about him, and you never really know where he stands. You know, in a lot of the movies, he's kind of like a man sent on a mission that's not, you're not really sure if it's good or bad. And I just think it's really cool. I go the Silver Surfer. I'm not sure if he'd be helpful, but I think but he's super cool and he looks awesome. So I'd be like,
he could probably help out beating the ships. Maybe
he could definitely beat the ships. He would. Well, that's if he was on our side. What if he was like, I get it, and then he's like, and then he destroys us. You know?
Yeah,
that's difficult.
Yeah. I just rewatched all three Lord of the Rings, so all I can think is somebody from that universe. I would even take Gollum. You know?
Gotta go Gandalf.
Riding in on that horse. Come on.
I have a Gandalf story before we carry on very quickly. I was back in the days when I was serving drinks, and you know, as we all do, having our side jobs. I used to work in events, and I once was doing an event for the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, one of the big publications in the UK, and I was the coat. I would take care of the coat, so guests would come in, give me a coat, I'd give them a tag, and they'd leave. So Ian McKellen, who plays Gandalf, gives me his coat. I say nothing, I keep it super cool. I do nothing, as I always am, super cool. And at the end of the night, he comes to get his coat, and I was this close to saying, "You shall not pass!" Because technically he wasn't allowed to pass. I was the only one allowed in the cloakroom. Luckily, I didn't say that, but now I've always wondered, should I have said that? Because who else gets to say that to him in context?
Well, well done on your restraint, first of all.
Thank you. Yeah. And there we go. Sorry, we're moving on swiftly. Look at that.
Just looking at this is a court check. Yeah. Okay.
How are we here? Yeah. ADHD, Jaimin, that's how we're here.
Thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Big love.